A sprawling desert of green and blue stone as far as the eye can see. Swirl beneath you like a patchwork of massive fingerprints on a vast ocean, frozen in time and glass. It is a perilous journey merely to arrive at the edge of the wasteland, alone to pass through its cold and unyielding valleys and crags. Yet, in the very center of this expanse lies the jewel of the wastes itself, a floating archipelago, hanging out by some miracle far in the sky, above a treacherous and seemingly endless moor below. A refugee haven, and a slice of paradise itself for those who survive the trek. You, lucky, privileged, haunted you, are among them. Welcome to the Malachite Wastes.
It's one of those days in the small village of Hava where the sun doesn't quite rise, where above the light of Solana Alpha is the light in the sky giving a greenish morning glow this morning as you get up. And what is it that wakes Leaf up this morning?
I think it feels like one of those days where he was never really asleep to begin with. Like, definitely was, but it was, like, such a transient, night of restlessness that I think he was already ready to be awake against his will.
Does he find himself in bed, or has this transient night fallen him asleep somewhere else in the cottage that he lives in?
Yeah, I think that he did put himself to bed. There's definitely been a vibe of needing to try and find routine recently. Sleep has been difficult. And so it was probably a good night of a warm milk before bed, and then got into bed and willed himself to sleep. But just consistent drifting in and out, those little micro sleeps with those, atopic heartbeats where you just startle yourself out of the actual REM that you're going into. I think it was just hours and hours of that. And now I think he knew an hour before he actually woke up that he was going to be waking up in an hour. And so he's just been lying there, existing.
And in this, existence, as, Leaf laying in bed, deciding whether or not, this state of sleep, not sleep, is worth staying in, there's a decision made on behalf of Penelope as she hops up onto your chest and starts to make little biscuits into Leaf's chest, because it is morning and she is hungry and she wants to eat something.
Okay. And he's gonna lift her off of his chest and just hold her up and look in her little cat face for a bit. And just kind of hold her there. Yeah. Okay. Biscuits as usual, I suppose. Fancy, or you can give me some kind of direction about what you want, because I know you can talk. No, none of that. No. What do you want?
You could just, her little body starts to vibrate with kind of you can't quite tell, is it happy purrs or anxiety purrs, but it's big.
Okay, whatever. Yes. So just dry biscuits again, I suppose. Right. You go to the kitchen. I'll meet you there in a minute.
She hops out. Kitchen, she knows. She hops out of your arms and hurries off to where her little food setup is in the kitchen.
Okay. And he's going to just legs first, kind of slide around so now that he's horizontal across the bed, and then just kind of slide off onto his knees and then onto all fours and then face down into the carpet and just take a deep breath and then push himself back up off of the floor and head to the kitchen.
Can you describe, as he heads out to the kitchen, what Leaf looks like?
Yeah. So he's not a tall guy. He's probably 5'8", 5'5", verging on 5'9". But he's not the kind of person where that is particularly important to him. He a lot of his life is just, I exist as I am now. He's fairly spindly, and not particularly by choice. It's just one of those. He's just one of those fast metabolism boys, and he looks an angry wizard turned a fox into a human, and so he's just got these very pointed, sharp features. But they're not severe particularly. It's just very angular all across the face, and then just a mess of like dark auburn hair that's particularly messy right now, but usually just swept into whichever direction it decides to go, and kind of wavy at the same time.
As Penelope swoops back, impatient, winding around your legs, trying to lead you into where the kitchen is, this is the home of a journalist, someone who is often busy and out and about. In terms of that space, does it feel lived in? Does it feel cared for? Is this the space that feels like someone is here a lot, or a space that someone is barely here?
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of paper strewn everywhere, but none of it holds anything particularly significant. It's a lot of ideas scribbled and then kind of half crunched up, and it's not a very determined scrunching of paper. It's almost as if it was a reluctancy to let go of the idea, and at some point can be smoothed back out again to present in a semi-formal fashion. It's dusty. It's kind of like the kind of house that you would for sure picture some imaginary version of your grandparents living in, but only in their old age. There's a lot of trinkets everywhere, but it doesn't seem like anything that he specifically chose out. It's kind of like whatever this house is, this little cottage, was created for someone else, and he happens to be living in, but it connects together in little meaningful ways.
Penelope blinks up at you with big golden eyes, just anticipatorily ready to be fed.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll check and see if we've got anything for you. I'm pretty sure we've got at least a cupful of biscuits. And he'll just be chatting with the willingness, the hope that maybe one day she'll correspond with him. And he'll walk over to the cupboard and I would say that there's about half a cup of dry feed left in the bag, and he'll just forgo the cup, just pour it straight into this little metal bowl that's on the floor, fresh up the water, and then just get himself a bowl of cereal and sit next to her and eat with her for breakfast.
She pads over to where the cat food is, gives one of those kind of cursory sniff at it, and then she immediately starts doing the cat trying to bury it. And then looks at you like, what? You know when a cat is just like, how could you do this to me? I've personally affronted, this is your one job. I don't ask for a lot here.
Oh yeah, it's nothing personal. I don't have milk for this. And I'll just show her my bowl of dry cereal. I was like, do you want some of this?
She kind of goes over and sniffs at it, starts sort of licking at it. What kind of cereal is it?
It is a very dry, Weetabix, shredded wheats kind of situation.
Fun fact, cats have trouble tasting sweet, and she kind of chews on it for a second and kind of looks up at you like, this is worse.
yeah, I'm fully aware.
Tries to bury your cereal.
I'll let her bury it. I'll just fully give it to her and I'll just be like, yeah, go ahead. It's probably a good idea, actually.
She kind of, does her little thing. Is disappointed, licks a little bit of water for herself, laps it up, and goes and sits in the window and stares out at the view of Lake Hesha that you have from your window.
I'll clean up and I'll kind of potter around for a bit in the kitchen, just making sure that anything that I'd left over from the evening is kind of tidied away. And I'm going to grab a piece of paper from the kitchen countertop and smooth it out and go onto the back where it's plain, and then just start jotting down stuff that we need that I can bring back when I come back home later.
As someone who has a place to land more than a home that feels cohesive, there's something about having someone there waiting for you, even if it is just your kind of gray, curious cat, that probably makes this feel a little bit more like coming home than you felt in a while. A sense of an expectancy, even if it is an annoyed expectancy of, I will expect something better to eat this evening, that you can feel radiating even as she stares out at the birds that are landing around the window and kind of making the
Yeah. I'll finish writing the list and I'll go over and I'll show her that cat food is at the top of the list. And I've really scratched it into the paper And then right underneath that is milk. And then like a cursory list of other items, coffee and teas, and a couple of other little packages of like food, some, you know, like instant noodles, that kind of thing. And I'll sit on the windowsill next to her and kind of try and see what kind of bird she's looking at.
You can see as you look out. Obviously, she is, I mean, unless something, you still are holding out hope that she might be a familiar. You're holding out hope that there's something remarkable about this cat. She does not look at your list. She looks directly at you in the eyes as you point to where cat food is written. But as you point a couple times, she gives you a slow blink of, okay, you've been acknowledged, looks back out at the birds. And you see there's a few robins out there. There's the occasional infernal pigeon that's made its way from the main city. And there is a world in which she's the kind of outdoor cat that could, you can see in her little mind working, and perhaps to you it is the mechanisms of some sort of magic that she could use to seduce the birds to her will, but she will devour them. She has plans, if only the window were not keeping her from the rest of the world.
You know, I'll watch her watching the birds for a little bit, and when the pigeon comes by, I'm gonna like very seriously hold her cheeks. Be like, you leave him alone, okay? He's nice, and he's been done dirty by this world. You just let him be. You can get the others, that's fine. No, here, you leave him alone, all right?
She kind of flops down when you put her back down. There's a look that could be, don't you fucking tell me what to do with that pigeon, or it could be, why would you touch me? I don't understand what's happening. It could be either of those two things, though, like, convincingly.
He's all right. I've had a couple of chats with him out there, and he admires you from top to bottom. So if you ever do come into contact with him, you just leave him be, yeah?
Give me an insight check.
Well, that's just a lovely little six.
Have a little six? She's gonna kill him. She's gonna fucking rip his guts out. And you know what? That's just what she's wired to do. She has no malice. She feels nothing but desire to see how his insides taste. And don't we all at some point have a ferocity inside us that just wants to know how things work and taste?
You know what? You do what you gotta do. I'm gonna warn him. So just be ready to like deal with that when it comes to it.
She hops off the windowsill. You've been talking to her too much. And goes to a little corner kind of like that you've got set up for her that has sort of a cushion on it. And she likes to take newspapers that you've brought home, that, you know, the extra ones that haven't been sold. And she likes to drag them to the corner and shred them slowly. That's like her pastime.
Just like my dad does with my papers, I'm sure. And I'll go and start to get ready for my day.
You know, as you go in this morning, you already kind of know what the vibe is going to be. You know that you're to get there. You're going to probably be the first person there unless Agnes is already there, because when Agnes is there, then she's there at like, you know, 4 a.m. because she couldn't sleep the night before. It's going to be the usual, oh, what's going on in the neighborhood today? There's never a sense of urgency that you thought there would be in kind of this press, exciting press editor job that you were going to get. But at the very least, you have something to look forward to this evening, because you know that you have this invitation to this art show that you're going to get to attend.
Yeah, so I think even before I leave the house, I'm going to make sure that I've like packed in a suit bag, like a fairly nice looking suit for this evening. But I'm just kind of like donned in my regular kind of like a nice woolen jumper and just a collared shirt. I think he is unfortunate in that, like, no matter how put together he tries to look to be, he always looks like he's slept in the clothes that he's kind of like, he's kind of wearing.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like dirty. He just looks very disheveled.
Yeah.
And yeah, just the trademark of most print journalists out there, I suppose.
A man who doesn't get a lot of sleep and whose yeah. clothes may hang a little loosely on him no matter what.
They've all been handed down from someone that is like twice as big as he is, but he's bought them all new and they never quite fit. They're either too tight in the shoulders or too loose in the shoulders and too big in, yeah, they're just never quite there. I'll make sure to have brought like a nice suit with me to the office, ready for the evening. It's assuming I'm not going to be back home until after the show.
Yeah. And, you know, it only takes you maybe 15 minutes to walk from where your cottage is to where this little press office is in the heart of this village, but you don't want to have to be running back and forth between places. You want to be ready. You want to be professional. Makes sense to have that with you as you go, as you leave for the morning. Do you have any, do you just kind of let her, Penelope, out to her thing? Do you have any?
I think usually I would say goodbye to her, but I can tell that I've pushed my luck with her this morning in terms of my interactions. And so I'll leave, but I'll feel bad about it, not saying a proper goodbye. So I'll reopen the door again and poke my head in. And I'll catch her attention and just go, oh, bye, see you later.
She pauses. She's got her claws in the newspaper. You are probably on the front page of this newspaper. What article of yours is she shredding right now?
I reckon she's probably shredding yesterday's piece about the irrigation systems being offline for an hour, which was a big deal.
Yeah, that was actually record sales. You guys had at least 15 sales that day. Incredible. She sort of stares at you. She blinks. She is not too peeved, not peeved enough to not blink back at you.
And just give her a little thumbs up. And then I'll close the door behind me and head out. I will contemplate riding my bike until I notice that the tire is extraordinarily flat. And then I'll just not bother.
Incredible. You step out of your home, and the village of Hava is an interesting place. It's between the Islet Key, where most of the Hessian population live, and the sort of gateway stepstones to the Orain Academy, which is more mountainous. You're sort of located more in the heart of this strange, petrified, foresty adjacent. There's not trees here, but there's this element of the way that the rocks are configured in this part of Heshael that kind of feel almost like being in the midst of like a cozy sort of forest area. There are times in which you find yourself, if you get too lost in the mazes of these rocks, it can seem kind of foreboding. But as long as you stay near kind of the city, the village central, you're doing okay. Otherwise, it's kind of your everyday in the village. Kids are on their way to school. You know, you see the people who are getting ready in the morning are always getting ready in the morning. The people who are getting ready for their commutes, you know that you're going to pass by the exact same people that you passed by for how long have you been here now?
Probably about 5 years.
It is an unusual thing. When you moved into this cottage, it was one of the most exciting things that had happened in several years to see a new face at all. The thing that changes the most is as the kids get older, because they're going to change the most. Otherwise, the faces have remained primarily the same since your arrival here.
Yeah, I reckon that mostly I'll be seeing, I feel like rather than commuters, it'll mostly be parents and like kids heading to school. And then as they get older, like just kids. And I feel like there was probably a time when they were like elementary school age that maybe there was some familiarity with both the parents and then like as a subsidiary them. But now that they're kind of in their like middle school teenage years, I think that they just, there's an air of wanting to not be seen dead near someone like me.
Every once in a while you get like a middle schooler who's a little bit like friendlier, who's like, hey, Mr. Griffin. But usually it's just kind of like, why are you saying, like, it's just like that weird guy who works in the newspaper, like, and then everyone giggles about it. Like, that's the kind of
yeah. I think I would probably know that they don't want me to communicate with them in any kind of way. So unless they, and even if they do, like, out of like kindness, like, talk to me, I will just like nod or wave and just keep the actual verbal communication to a bare minimum. But yeah, there's a little part of me that finds it kind of like, I think each year that goes by and the older they get, the more I feel like I've been here slightly too long. But not in like a terrible way, but I'm just like, this is, I don't think I should see kids that were like 6 now coming up to like 12 years old. Like, that feels wrong.
As you pass by these kind of houses and the fences that you've passed by day after day, you already see that doesn't seem like Agnes is in yet, but it does seem like there is already a new note for you that is like stuffed in the letterbox, not all the way in, because he never stuffs them all the way in. He always leaves them halfway out of it.
Yeah, I'll pick up the pace and I'm going to walk right up to it and I'm going to shove it in, and then I'm going to pick it up when it's on the other side, because that's how it should be. but I'm not happy. I'm like, for fuck's sake, and I'm just gonna like shove it in, and then like rustle around for my keys on all the keys that I have on this loop.
And as you're actually like looking for the keys, Howard actually just approaches you from the side and it's like, did you get my letter?
Morning, Howard. It's in. It's where it should be. I'll read it when I get to my desk. It's actually still...
Good, because I think it's very important that we talk about the safety of this community, because it does not seem as though you and your little paper have been reporting on the important things in this community lately.
Right, yeah. What's it about this time, Howard?
This time, it is about the tunnels.
Right, yes. The tunnels. Like the sewage system.
Are you being willfully obtuse right now?
No, sorry, Howard. You mean the secret tunnels, I'm assuming?
The secret tunnels underneath the whole village that connects it to whatever the strange happenings inside the Orion Academy are. And you know, I've been telling you about this since day one, Leaf. And when have you reported on anything I've said about it? None. No times.
No times. And look, this might be a good moment for us to be brutally honest with each other, actually, Howie. You're right. I believe you. There are strange things happening up at the Academy. Do you know why there are strange things happening up there? Because I do.
Looks very sick. Why are there strange things happening up at the Academy?
Because it's a magic academy. They're doing magic up there.
That's not... No. That's... Yes, well, yes, they are doing magic, but that's not what the strange thing about what they're doing at the Academy is. Why would they need secret tunnels between here and the Academy?
My assumption is that they probably just need a way for people to get there. It's like you've been to the city, right? You know, they have like subway systems over there.
You don't, you just become one of them, one of those sleepy people, Leaf.
I'm pretty sleepy. Listen, Howard, how about I read your letter? You come back on my lunch break and you can take me down to the tunnels. And we'll walk in together, okay?
And he's like, you've been like so civil about this that he doesn't know how to fight with you. And he's like, I will be back at lunch.
Good. Do you want anything?
What were you planning on getting for lunch?
Oh, I haven't really decided yet. What were you planning
on? Then why would you ask me what I wanted for lunch?
Well, because then we can decide together and we can get it on the way down to the secret fucking wizard tunnels, can't we?
I've sort of been feeling like a falafel lately.
Yeah, sure, we can do falafel. It doesn't really agree with me, but I can, like, do they have coffee over there?
Probably. I don't drink coffee. You know I don't drink coffee.
Right, yes, because it... remind me why you don't drink coffee?
Because of the secret chemicals inside of...
Secret wizard chemicals, yeah.
The secret wizard chemicals where they're trying to control everything about our... brains, Leaf.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I very much look forward to this. Pop by here at noon, I suppose.
You bet I'll be here at noon.
Yeah, me too.
Kind of curmudgeons away. Like, that was a confusing interaction for him. That was like more, usually people just ignore him sooner or keep pushing more. You've dealt enough with Howie at this point to know that he's just sort of your local conspiracy theorist. At the beginning, right when you moved here, you may have thought, this might be my ticket to some kind of cool story, something going on. But you followed enough of Howard's leads to know that if he has one, he has not ever told you in a timely manner or in a relevant manner about what that would be.
Yeah, I think probably after at least the 10th letter about like mysterious happenings at the wizard school, I would probably have just figured out that it's just because they're doing magic and maybe he doesn't fully understand magic.
He's one of those people who, like, if it were just like wizards, okay, you learn a bunch of spells. What is a sorcerer? Where do their powers come from? Sorcery is just being a warlock, but lying about it. Like, he's got a lot of like theories about what sorcery really is and how it's all fruit of like pacts with things that are too terrible to even be considered under warlock packs. Like, he's got a lot of theories and they're not particularly tasteful most of the time.
No, I have like a hateful soft spot for him. I think it's enjoyable to have some form of nemesis.
Yeah, he definitely thinks of you as like his great foil. He thinks of you as like the Moriarty to his Sherlock, and you know him as is the neighbor who sends too many letters.
So yeah, I'll take a moment to collect myself and then I'll find the right key, unlock the door, and I'll push it open.
Have you thought of what the name of this local newspaper that you are a writer for is?
Yeah, I think it's just as simple as the slate.
The offices of the slate are not large. They have a few desks. There's the kind of formal editor's office. And when you first got the sort of pitch to come here and work in Hava on Hashael on like this on slate on the one like the newspaper of Hashael, it was an exciting day. You really felt when the former senior editor approached you about this position all those years ago at that kind of job fair that you attended in Terrakea. You remember talking to this guy, this like older dragonborn guy who'd just, you know, been living in Hesha for a long time. And he had like his booth set up, and there was something kind of old school about the way that he presented. He didn't have all these gimmicks and these like flashy presentations that some of these other recruiting companies had. He was like there with his wooden table, and he had, you know, he liked to write on an old typewriter, and he was very much like, well, I don't need a fancy presentation to try and get you out here, because the work should speak for itself. You know, we're about quality. We're about telling it out like it is. The media these days, we're in competition with screens. Everyone's got the apps right there in their pocket. But nothing beats the smell of the print of a fresh newspaper in the morning. That ink running first thing in the evening editions. It's like nothing else in the world. He always smelled a little bit like printing press ink and cigarettes all the time.
I think, yeah, the pitch really drew me in as far as just a way to get my feet solidified in what I would consider to be like traditional, like proper press. And knowing that a lot of like new media was coming out, it felt so unstable and so unsure, even though it was a lot more relevant and there was a lot more stuff happening. It still felt like that traditional sense of media, no matter how small town it was, would afford me the ability to get some bylines and to get some stuff in a portfolio that eventually one of the bigger productions and one of the bigger pieces of like media outlets would be able to look at and be like, okay, he respects the art, and now we can move you into a bigger space. But I think after getting here and realizing that it was very, very, very small, I don't think Leaf felt particularly hoodwinked. I think that he just didn't see himself staying there for as long as he ended up staying there. But he's kind of fallen in love with it in the same way that you kind of fall in love and tolerate some things sometimes.
It didn't take too long after Leaf's arrival at the paper for this older editor, for Leonidas, to retire. But not before, like, you got your bylines in. Like, you very quickly rose as much through the ranks of this tiny little newspaper as possible. And now it's essentially between, like, the person who is still in charge and then you. There are people who have been there longer, but they care less. And that's the kind of environment. And one of those people is Agnes, who shows up not long after, knows your coffee order by heart, has everybody's coffee order already there. She herself has a tea. She also is not a, she'll say, you know, like, oh, that coffee, it's too strong for me. But like, you know that it's like the most caffeinated tea that she could possibly get. Like, if she could drink the monster energy of tea, she drinks that. She's in her like late 60s, early 70s, born and raised here on Hashael, and just like, you know, she put the kids through school, and now she's got grandkids, and like, why not bring home a little extra gold and write some of the opinion pieces for Slate. You know, it's very it gives her something to do with. Give me something to do with my time. Comes over, she sort of just like this little granny. She's maybe probably human. She's on the small side, so maybe there's a little bit of halfling in her, and she sort of reaches up, pops your coffee on the table next to you. Good morning, Leaf.
Morning, Agnes. How are we?
We are doing well. Look, you brought your suit today. Do you have an event tonight?
Well, yes, I do. I've been invited to a very prestigious art gallery to take a look around and do a little bit of critiquing.
Isn't that just something? I know our paper can be a little small, but I know that's the sort of thing that that looks awful good in the big city, huh?
Well, hopefully, I'm just excited to finally, you know, go out there and take a look at some real art and do some real good criticism out there, you know?
Well, you know, we are so looking forward to seeing what you write about it, and I just know you always have such thoughtful things to say, Leaf. Even, I know it's sort of small time, but even when you're just writing about what happens right here in town, about the new paintings that went up in the cafe, you know, there's always something. I had no idea that those boats were actually called dinghies before your article. I learned so much.
Yeah, and that they were painted with acrylic, in case you didn't know.
You knock my socks off, kid. Every time you come in, you got so many. Just such a smart guy.
Well, thanks for the coffee. Did you get a chance to finish up that piece that you were working on yesterday? The agony art piece.
And you see, she comes over and she writes most of hers by hand. She has it, and it's incredibly neat, very legible, like genuinely. So she's got these little, and she says, "Oh, you know, people have the strangest questions. It was such a delight. I had trouble picking which ones to answer this week."
Yeah, which ones did you pick? I'd like to read them before we put anything to print.
Oh, that is, that's a 100, which is something I heard that the kids are saying now. This one, it says, "Dear Agony Aunt," that's me.
That's you now, yeah.
"Dear Agony Aunt, I am having trouble deciding if I should stay with my boyfriend. He is thinking about being in a polyamorous triad. What do you think that means?" So then I had to, you know, do a little research, ask the grandkids what a polyamorous triad is. And I learned that it has to do something with three people riding a bicycle all at the same time. So I said, "Dear Lonesome in Leadtown, I think that being in a polyamorous triad seems like an exciting new thing to try with your boyfriend. I think that being open to new experiences, it seems like the way to go. But if you're not happy at the end of it, then just talk it out. Love, Agony Aunt."
Perfect. Brilliant. Can I take a look at the other ones that you answered there? The other...
Oh, for sure. She slides this little stack of, like, very beautifully written, but you can definitely tell there has become a trend in the village of, like, teenagers submitting questions that they kind of maybe think that she's not going to completely understand what they mean. And, like, as much as it probably is a joke, there is something, like, strangely wholesome about it as well. They're just like, "What's she going to say?"
Yeah, I'll start, like, flicking through them. Wow, there's a... Oh, a lot of people ask you about polyamory, hey?
Yes, I feel like I'm learning. You kids, you keep me sharp. You keep me learning about all the new slang and all the new terminologies. And people should just be happy riding as many wheels on as many bicycles as they want to.
Yep, I fully agree with you. Yeah, these all seem very bicycly charged. I will take a look at all of these and I will see which ones we can put in a local newspaper.
Oh, yeah, there was something in one of these questions, but I'm assuming it has something to do with boats, boating?
Yeah, that's the one you got in your hand right now, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
You can read it out, that's fine.
So it says, "Dear Agony Auntie, mm-hmm. My boyfriend and I are gay," which is so nice. Don't you think that's so nice that the kids can say that now?
Yeah.
It's so nice. "And we have been having so much fun this summer. We've been thinking of trying docking. And I thought..."
Yeah.
"We should go out on the..." I have all these tips about boat safety and wearing your life jacket. And I just thought, that's what they're talking about, right?
Agnes, in any given situation, would you want me to be fully open and transparent with you and tell you the absolute truth, even if it would make you think about doing this in a different light? Or would you just like to keep on going?
Oh, dear, you know that I can take it. I want to hear anything you got, anything you can throw at me, just like these new asks I've been getting. Just Throw it on my face.
Oh, yeah. Good choice of words. So, you know what? No, I really love the work you're doing here. I think we'll make this a regular staple. But let's put these to the side and can we reconnect tomorrow, perhaps? We'll have a proper sit down and chat about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get started. But if you need me, I'm right over in my corner. I brought in a hot dish for lunch. So if you want a little corner of that, I can save you a little piece of that and just get on to it.
No, I appreciate that. I'm actually taking Howard out for lunch, so.
Oh, why?
Beats me.
That's interesting. That's, well, you know, dear, gods work in mysterious ways sometimes. So, I hope you two have a wonderful lunch.
I'll do my best.
She kind of heads up to her own desk and she's like, you can tell, like, there's not a glimpse of the irony of this on her. She is just so genuinely enthusiastic about, like, the new, it's, you know, like, there's just been such a long time when it was just the little kids and the older people and people weren't asking for advice as much. And if she can help, like, the upcoming youth answer some of the questions they might have, well, you know what? God love them. She's going
to
do it.
Yeah, I'll take some time to sit and, like, really read through her advice. I'm going to see how many of the questions are just like unprintable, and because I know all the responses are completely safe for work, but I know that the questions probably weren't. So I'm going to kind of sift through and try and salvage at least two or three for this evening, and maybe one cheeky, like, explicit one, just because I know that then we'll bump up the sales a little bit more, but nothing too outrageous. And yeah, I'll take some time to really puzzle through how much I'm going to explain to her tomorrow and whether or not that's going to, like, ruin her day or she'll just go with the flow. I've got to take some time to ruminate on that.
Yeah, make me just a straight luck check.
Okay. Bad rolls tonight. Different dice, please. That's a two.
They're pretty saucy. They're all pretty saucy. The innuendo is high enough that you can probably, like, technically, like, the kids have gotten smarter. Like, they were initially submitting things like, how do I have a three-way with my parents? Like, they're being, like, very silly. They have learned, based on how she answers them, to code the questions as best as they can to be as innuendo-y as possible. And what you get on that, too, it's probably a little bit inspiring that these kids have gotten really clever about it. But, yeah, most of these are, like, they're pretty raunchy.
Yeah, I'll just pick the least potentially offensive three, but the ones that I know have that would definitely make people pick up a paper if someone told them that that was in there, and then just put them aside. Then I'm going to pick up Howard's actual note and see what it says.
It's a note. It's also like hand-drawn blueprints of how the tunnels connect to the Orain Academy, and the Orain Academy is siphoning magic from the maw, and under the mantle in the core of the earth, there is a god, a dead god, and they're siphoning off the blood of the dead god and drinking it, and that is how they're pretending that sorcery is a real thing, and actually they're kind of this like vampiric blood cult and pretending to be sorcerers, and then the sorcerers are going to go out into the world and try to convert other people to their blood cult.
I'm assuming this is pretty standard for Howard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I've, like, actually ever just gone up to the academy and just, like, I think probably in the early days I would have just gone up there, like, thinking that maybe this was an actual genuine lead. I'm assuming not by this point.
They're just a bunch of sorcerers. The closest thing to reality in... It seems as though, like, Howard is taking a very, a traditional Hessian, like, folklore story of how God, like, their God abandoned their people and, like, ascended into the sky never to speak to them again. And has decided, like, no, the Heshep killed God. They hid him in the center. They hid them in the center of the earth. And now they're sucking blood out. Like, it's like, if Howard didn't do this to literally everything, it would be like kind of anti-Hessian, but like you think that he's got a conspiracy theory, like he only trusts wizardry because he understands in principle how wizards have magic. But he doesn't trust warlocks. He doesn't trust Fae. He doesn't trust any magical thing. He's like, I want to be able to see it with my eyes. Like, that's the kind of person that Howard is.
And the tunnels, I'm assuming, I just know that they're just transportation tunnels.
Yeah, I mean, there's caves that have been part of... I mean, it's the mountain range that is on Hesha has been there since its founding. And in part of it being there, there are tunnel systems and there's cave systems. But like, you don't think they go anywhere beyond, maybe there's a tunnel that would come all the way out to like the village. But like, anything formally put there is either specifically like for ritual purposes for like the Hessian villagers, or it's, you know, the emergency exit for their Rain Sorcery Academy. It's like, hey, like, if there's ever a big earthquake or Hesha comes back down and like drops us into the thing, we can all go in through the tunnel and just like hide out there. You know, like it's a very, it does not seem like when you were talking to the administrators up at the school and we're kind of like trying to see if there was a story to break there, everyone was very transparent. Everyone seemed very friendly. This is already a school that was kind of seen as like, there's already plenty of people who have like question marks over why a school for sorcery would even exist in the first place. So they're very used to answering like questions from people who don't understand what they're doing. And they were just very like kind and accommodating and were like, oh, the tunnels. Well, yeah, I mean, we're built into the side of a mountain, so we do have some tunnels. Like, it was just very like.
So I think, yeah, that like when I offered the lunch, I think it's a sincere offer, but I think this is like a mild, at this point, having known each other for so long, this is going to be like a mild one-to-one intervention. This is just a very gentle, it's called this specific conspiracy quits for now in as gentle way as possible.
It's starting to come off as like a little like, probably a little like ruder than you mean it.
And I think he doesn't want, like, as far as I know from him, I don't think he wants to be perceived that way because he is like that with everything. And so like, I want to just like redirect him. I might even spend a little bit of this morning like creating a new mild conspiracy to kind of like just.
It's very thoughtful.
Redirect.
Yeah.
Nothing harmful, you know, like the kind of thing where it's like, is the moon real kind of like...
yeah 100%. Like, you can very easily, without even having to make a check, like, the sun only comes out once every 3 days. Where is it the rest of the time? Like, he hasn't talked about that in a while. You definitely think you can, like, if you have a like a lead, quote in quotes for audio, that you can drop that way, you think you could probably, you know, distract him enough. Besides you and Agnes, how large is the team here at the newspaper?
I would say there's probably like at least three or four others that are like kind of staff writers. I think everyone has managed to find, like, I don't think there's a lot of news that happens anymore, so we don't need like beat reporters, but I think everyone has their own area that they're particularly interested in. It's ended up just being much more of like an opinion paper.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like pages of opinion columns, basically. And then like, I think that there's probably someone that's very into the local food scene and kind of does that kind of stuff. And so I think there's probably just a committed group of three or four of us. And then occasionally we'll invite people to come and do a guest like feature article.
100%. Agnes is definitely sort of she's got her column. Your very quiet newspaper has gotten a lot more popular, but again, like, as it would be in a small village. And especially, you know, when kids take a picture of an article and they can send it to 200 more people, you know, you're getting a little bit of a, like, if you have any kind of social media presence, Slate's definitely got like a little bit of a bump in social media presence because like there are kids on Terrakea now who are like, who's this lady who writes these hilarious columns? Like, that's definitely like the best press you've gotten in a while. You've got occasionally Leonidas, though he is retired, will kind of come in and like be like, I wrote an article about what's going on in the press lately. Like, and he'll kind of, he's sort of got like a finger on the pulse of like some news related stuff, but like that's kind of like few and far between. At this point, this paper is just like, it was kind of his baby. And so he sort of like checks in to make sure everything's good. You've got Beamer. Beamer is your almost fresh out of high school intern. Like, he has named himself the food critic. He has gone to now every restaurant in the Islet, in Hava. He's like starting to review like the vending machines and stuff. And then you've got Ava, who is the current like editor-in-chief. And those are kind of like probably the main cast of characters here, and she sort of just does whatever no one else is feeling like doing. It's like between you and Ava, you sort of share the bulk of everything else, and kind of just there is that balance between like every once in a while there's like, yeah, it's our duty to report what's going on like a local election, or oh, there was a fire at the bakery. And other than that, like, it's okay, well, what do we gotta fill for this week's edition? Like, what should we be printing daily editions? Like, is it costing us more money to print daily editions? But there's something like, well, okay, maybe we have like a daily edition like flyer that goes out, and then we save the juicy stuff for the weekend. Okay, like she's even younger than you. I mean, you're not so young, but you look quite young, but she's definitely like numbers wise the youngest member besides Beamer. But she has like a passion and a dedication to this that like is very recognizable from when you first started out at Slate. Like, this is gonna be her paper. Like, this is her big thing. And she comes in not long after you. Beamer comes in because it's a Saturday, so he doesn't have to wait till he's out from school is out. And for once, you kind of have a full house going in instead of just a couple people.
I think for a while now, especially seeing as like watching Beamer kind of like run out of things easily accessible to him, and knowing that he's going to be graduating soon, I think me and Ava probably would have had the conversation around let's connect him in with our school in Terrakea and hook him up there and get him a place and write him recommendation letters. And I think we're probably getting close to, if not imminently, ready to tell him and kind of surprise him with that. And so we've kind of like put together a little bit of money. We've got him a list of like contacts for restaurants in Terrakea, and then at some point be able to break the news to him that he's going to be going to journalism school, basically.
I think when he comes in that day, he actually has like a backpack, and it is like full of empanadas. It's like stuffed full of empanadas. And he's like, breaking news. There is a new food cart that sometimes brings food to Heshael. She's a water nymph. She's from the actual Feywild. She moved out here of all places, and she makes food. It's from the ocean seaside town that she was from, and I got morning fresh batch right off the griddle. Empanadas. Puts down the like, down the platter, like they kind of all like bounce there. He's like, and I'm gonna try them all, god damn it.
Oh, they all are they like different empanadas?
Yeah, this one is actually, I don't remember what she called it, but it's, I'm gonna have to go back to her for a quote at some point, but it's not an empanada, it's like a sweet version of an empanada. This is an empanada. This one's got fish in it, this one's got chicken in it, that one over there is something else in a word that I don't remember that she said, but I'm gonna go back, I'm gonna get my quotes, I'm gonna cite my sources, and I ate two on the way here, and they're goddamn delicious.
That's very thorough, very, very good work.
Well, it's my job, man. Like, this is who I am. I'm the food guy, you know? I'm gonna be the food guy, you know?
You will be, I'm sure of it. Maybe why don't you get those distributed, and then come and chat with me and Ava.
Oh yeah. Am I in like trouble or something? I know I like spilled sauce on my last one, but it was just because I was like eating in the moment, trying to re-experience it.
It's a good thing.
Okay.
I think I just have terminal like imposing face.
I mean, that's you, like, right? Like, I'm the food guy. You're the like imposing face guy, you know?
Oh, good. That's exactly how I wish to be remembered.
That's like the art guy thing, right? Like, year after you're supposed to like make an intimidating face.
I think, yeah, I feel like I can do that. But yeah, how about you, yeah, get that stuff foiled up and put somewhere, and then come meet me and Ava.
Oh, you got a bus. Okay. And he's making sure everyone gets their portion, and then he's very on top of it as he divvies them up, and then goes in and meets you in Ava's office. She's often in there for like hours at a time, unblinking, just like working, focused. But when you and Beamer come in, she kind of looks up. She's like, oh, hey, morning. Sorry, I didn't, Agnes brought me my frap and I got right down to it. Nice to see you ready for the gallery opening this evening.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think so. Just wait there a second, Beamer. I'm going to run right up to the desk and like, I I'm going to kind of like do like a loop around her and kind of just crane down, like, oh, we're going to tell him right now. We're going to tell him now about the whole thing. And then we're going to do the thing. Yep.
Yeah. We can do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm ready. I think. Yeah.
Cool. Well, Beamer, Leaf and I want to talk to you about your tenure here with us and how fantastic of a job you've been doing as our food critic. I mean, especially a young man your age coming out and doing this for us as our intern, you really stepped up. You've got what it takes to be like a great columnist, and you even have some photography skills, which is fantastic. Yeah, Leaf, do you wanna add anything?
Yeah. So we were just thinking about your role here and your future in general, and you know, just where things go from here, really. This sounds like I'm not firing you. We're not laying you off.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like, yeah, I mean, no, but yeah, you're not firing me?
Yeah, no, it's exactly what it sounded like, but that's not what it is. Basically, we thought that, you know, we both went to school and we got a lot out of it. Some both ended up here, but that means that we've managed to stockpile some resources and some connections, and we'd both just really like to send you to Tarakea to go to school once you graduate, if that's okay. You don't have to, obviously. It's like,
oh, you want you don't want me to work here?
Maybe when you finished, but if you want to, I mean, you don't have to. Obviously, it's just like we just put together a little list of contacts for some restaurants in Tarakea, and like a ticket to get out there, and then.
And you see, Ava's kind of like, you know, our doors are always open to you. You've been such a great. And he's like, it really kind of sounds like you guys are trying to get rid of me. Like, am I not doing a good job? Like, I don't want to.
No. Yeah, shit. That's exactly what it sounds like. That's not the case. We just.
No. Of course not. No. We think you're doing a great job.
You've run out of food. you've done them all. And I just thought maybe you'd want to go and do the big ones in the city.
Sort of like his brow sort of furrows and he's like nodding. He's like, yeah, but like, yeah, like, I mean, that would be, like, really cool. Like, I'm sorry, I don't, like, you want to, what do you mean you want to send me to school?
Well, like, like, we want to make sure that you don't have to worry about the administrative side of getting to school.
Leaf is saying that we would like to offer you some kind of scholarship so we can help you pay for your tuition. And he's like, oh, man, oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the word, yeah. But that's not to say that you can't, like, afford it, or your family. Like, we don't know.
No. I mean, no, I'm sorry. I'm coming off like a dick. Like, that's not what I mean. It's just, like, you guys are, like, kind of, like, mentors. I'm not complaining. I was kind of just hoping, like, maybe, like, you would offer me a job after this. But, like, if you guys think I need to go, like, and learn more and go to school and, like, eat different food, like, I love to eat different food and stuff. But, like, maybe I could come back on, like, the weekends and, like, still work here sometimes or something. Like, if that's cool.
Basically, you still work here exactly the same as it was before, except for the fact that whenever you want to, when seeing as you don't, you've run out of places to talk about food here, you just take a trip with money that isn't yours and that is being given to you, and we're giving you a company account, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, so like you can book travel to the city, go and find new restaurants.
And like take some school and stuff. Like that's.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually like really cool. I didn't mean to act like this was a bad, like I just kind of thought you were good for firing me. But that's like, that's really cool, guys.
Well, you deserve it. You've been incredible. And obviously you're welcome but nothing changes for you in terms of the new being here. Just that you get to do some cooler things.
That'd be really cool. That'd be like awesome. I wasn't trying to be weird, but like you guys are gonna like my heroes, and like that's really like, I don't just like, I'm really like, I don't even know what to say. Like, you want me to like eat more food and then like come back and work here on the weekends? It's really nice. Sorry, I'm like, I ate some of those empanadas and they were really spicy.
Yeah, I just see, yeah, must have got some residue spice off of the we're not very good at this, me and Ava. We're not very good at this.
I'm being normal. I'm very excited. This is going to be a great opportunity for you, Beamer. And, you know, Leaf and I have seen you come up from when you, like, started coming out here as a freshman, just showing us the reviews you were writing for the cafeteria food. Even then, like, you have so much initiative. You're so talented. You're always welcome here, but you don't necessarily got to be here forever. You know, like, if you find there's a bigger paper that, you may not find a paper as good as ours, but, like, if you find a paper that you think you're better suited for, like, you know, we're going to have your back. And he's just like, you're cool. Like, I was like, thanks. Like, thanks.
Jesus, go and drink some water.
Yeah, I think I just need to check and make sure that I didn't give Agnes empanadas with meat in them. I'm just gonna go check on that real quick. I gotta go. Agnes is my...
And I'll go and close the door and then turn around to Ava. I'm being normal. Is that what you... Are you serious?
I mean, I was... Yeah, I don't know what to say. Did you know what to say? I didn't know...
I don't think I was being abnormal in any kind of way.
I mean, I didn't think he was gonna start crying. Not that it's not normal to not cry. I mean, he's very sweet. You're right. Maybe I'm the freak because I didn't... Oh, I mean, I got a little... Like, I got teared up in my own way. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yes. Do you need to double check, though? We have been saving up for this, right?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Yeah, but when we were saving up, the idea was to send him to school, like a one-way trip to Terracaea. But what we've just done is offered him a company account to go back and...
What you've just done is offered him a company account.
Which you co-opted by not telling me not to do that.
But I guess that's I'm the boss, okay.
Yeah, you're the editor. You should have just said no.
Yeah. No, I wasn't going to say no, though, because can you imagine the look on his little face? He would have been so disappointed when you offered that thing that we didn't talk about.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not my fuck-up, but, I mean, it's not entirely just my fuck-up.
It's fine. It's fine. It's honestly, especially if he doesn't want to do it full-time, if we pay for, like, the class that he wants to be in, I mean, it'll be a longer route for him, but, I mean, if he wants to make the trek back and forth, it might honestly be better budgetarily, all things considered. But he seems happy. We'll make it work.
Okay, good. Yep, that's all I needed to hear.
Anyway, we can make... What's the thing? The boop boops the kids are on. But if they can take, like, Agnes's columns and, like, kind of roll with that, if we can monetize that in some way. I don't know exactly how we're going to do it.
Look, and you've been reading her columns, right?
They're fucking hilarious. I like to think that we have an editorial standard here and, like... You've been doing a great job at making sure the spicier ones haven't been getting out into the masses. But some of them, I'm not going to lie. Some of them, I've been making a book, just like a book with my favorites in them because, oh, poor Agnes. I mean, like, I don't think anyone's laughing at her.
That's what I've been getting worried about. Actually, I was thinking about it a lot last night. Is this exploitative?
Do you feel like we're exploiting? I mean, she seems thrilled.
She's having a great time, but she does not know what she's being asked, and she's answering sincerely.
Yeah, she did say she was talking about demisexuality the other day,
mm-hmm.
and she thought it was something about being attracted to baguettes.
Okay, because she's very willing to learn, and so my thought was that maybe... Not today, there's a lot going on, but maybe sometime very soon we can sit her down and actually go through everything. Because she's very receptive. I just don't want her to be completely in the dark. Because I feel
I
like
agree.
It will still continue going on the same way, but I'm not comfortable with her not knowing.
I agree, but I in that sort of fly in the wall documentary, and like if we were making a documentary, would we lose the sincerity if we were to interfere with the subjects? That's not the same, is it? We are possibly exploiting an old woman.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just redid my ethics course, and I feel like that might just be exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not making a nature documentary. We can go in and intervene.
Yeah, we probably should. I mean, I'm not...
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. But it's... Oh, God. Okay, yeah, you're right. We're not some trashy tabloid. We're not going to take advantage.
Not today, because there's one in here about docking. So obviously we're going to put the docking one out there.
Oh, tell me. Did she think it was about fairies? What the...
She wrote 300 words about boat safety.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah.
Bless her. I love her so much. Oh my God, I wish she was my grandmother.
Yeah, we'll keep the docking in there,
yes.
I think, and run that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then call it quits.
Yeah. We'll just give her, you know, like, I bet, hey, new assignment for the new employee with an account. You have a chat with Agnes about things, and then maybe Beamer can be sort of a teen slang translator for her. We can get her to run some question mark words, because it sounds like her grandkids may be having some fun at her expense. So we can't, I mean,
yeah
okay, I am the editor. I am accountable for running the articles. That being said, there are some very... funny teenagers in this town.
Yeah.
And Agnes has mostly them to blame. But no, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep the docking one in. Yeah.
The docking one's going to stay out. Let that one run and then we'll deal with the exploitation of the vulnerable elderly woman.
Good catch. Thank you for keeping me honest, because, you know.
Well, I mean, it's not as if I genuinely didn't think about it until a couple of nights ago, so.
What's the invitation for tonight?
It came in a couple of days ago and just said an art exhibition was requiring my expertise in the viewing of the opening this evening, so.
The Rosenthal Academy. That sounds swanky.
Yeah.
Look at that. That invitation, actually, it's got, like, raised lettering and everything.
I know, it's very fancy. And they got a seal on it. And I just think it'll be good. I don't think I'm going to go as press, though, this evening. I think I'm just going to go as they invited me and not the slate.
Oh, yeah, sure. Are you going to think you're going to do a write-up or just, you know?
I mean, I'm assuming by saying that they need my expertise that they just want me to go in and be honest about the artwork.
Yeah. If there's anything interesting, like, you know, let me know if you need anything.
Yeah, I'm taking Howard out for lunch today.
Why?
Yeah.
Did you lose a bet?
Only to myself. He caught me this morning and he's still on the academy.
I don't know why we are, but we're starting to get complaints. I'm starting to get complaints because apparently I'm the voice of reason. That's us. The slate is the voice of reason of the city.
Yeah.
And I'd rather not, you know, I would personally prefer not to do like a Howard condemnation piece because I don't think we're there yet. So if you can nip that in the bud, send him off on a...
Yeah, I'm just thinking about a classic redirect or just going to tell him to kind of pack it in. Like a short of taking him up to the academy and just, but like, I feel like that's just going to be...
It's not like he hasn't, like, you could show him with his own eyes and he'd be kind of like...
Was he even allowed back up there after?
No, he's not, nope. He's not supposed to go up there anymore. It's just like, yeah, so, looks bad.
I'll redirect him. I think I'm halfway torn between the moon isn't real and every cow is actually a horse.
Oh, interesting. Both are compelling, especially there's not a lot of cows or horses on... Heshael, that will, that might get him
away for a bit.
Yeah, doing some. Moon isn't real, though. That's also like, that's a good one.
Because he has brought up the moon isn't real before.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's, who's the victim there? The moon.
The moon, yeah. I mean, like, honestly, go more for the horse cow thing, because I know the moon can be an important, like, thing in the Hessian calendar, and we don't want it to seem like it's like, it's somehow offensive to both Hessians and dragon people.
Yeah.
If we can set him off on something, like, borderline real, do you know what I mean? Like...
I've had a thought, and feel free to...
Think out loud.
What if we hired Howard?
Say more words.
He wants to be able to discuss these things with people.
Mm-hmm.
And he often comes directly to me, so I don't mind this being somewhat my responsibility with some oversight from you. But what if we were able to filter this stream of consciousness and funnel it into a staff writing position where we have editorial control over what he's saying? And then he's happy. He's getting ideas out there and we're not exploiting him and we're not making fun of them. We're not changing his words. But then he's physically working with us instead of against us. If he says yes.
What? I mean, listen, I'm not asking you to, like, give me the inner workings of Howard's mind, because I feel like that would take a while. What do you imagine this column looking like? What is the vibe? I'm not sure if we could do like full on conspiracy theory of the week might be, and I don't think he would go for that. What's the spin?
What if we made him a freelance feature writer?
Mm-hmm.
As a quarterly thing. Give him an investigation task.
Interesting.
And then we have at least 3 weeks where he's working on something. And then if he riles people up, then we'll have enough cushion and time to sort out those problems and kind of have a buffer. And then each month as it goes past, we'll always have some kind of editorial control over the way that he's expressing himself.
There's a chance this could be unleashing like a can of worms that will be hard to get the top back on. However, pitch it to him as a trial run. We do a first article, you guys collaborate on it to whatever, you know, be, give him a office hours. You point him in the right direction and a broken clock is right twice a day. So let's...
Yeah, and I think the structure will honestly, like, work for him.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I'm not, you know, pitch it, see how it goes.
Yep.
Tread carefully. And yeah. I wish you the best of luck on this launch. I will not be attending, but use the company card. So that's something.
Well, yeah, he wants falafel. Bye. And he's going to just like about turn and then just go straight out.
Yeah.
Yep, we're done with this. Yep.
Incredible. You grab falafel with Howard.
Mm-hmm.
He is suspicious
mm-hmm.
about this concept. He is concerned about being censored by big media.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have been at odds for, you know, I've been at odds for a long time, so I don't entirely know if I can trust you with this.
This is very difficult for me to admit, Howard, but this is you winning. I just don't have the fortitude or the strength of mind that you have to continue this forever. And so I feel like I've had my boss breathing down my neck about how they keep hearing about your concepts and your ideas. And it feels like you not being involved with us is actually keeping such a tight lid on who you are that we're not. It's just, it's bad for
mm-hmm.
our public image and for the truth.
Yeah, the truth.
Herschel. Yeah.
It comes down to it. That's the most important thing, isn't it?
It's the absolute most important thing. And I feel like just... Yeah, this gives us a chance. This gives me a chance to learn from you, for starters, because I'm not an investigative journalist, but you have all the markings of a very, very successful one. And I just want to see you achieve.
I'm gonna get a nameplate.
At the office? Yeah. We can make that happen. They're pretty easy to come by. We can for sure make sure that we can get a nameplate. I can make you a press pass. I made mine, so.
I think you could get me an interview back at the Arane Academy, or is that, what do we think about that?
Well, I think you asking that question, I feel like you already know the answer to that. You're not allowed back there, are you?
I have been asked not to go in and get to break what's really going on there.
I would say that this has felt like a productive conversation up until this point. So I feel like if I was to be quite frank with you right now, you'd probably appreciate that, right?
I mean, if you tell me your name is Frank, I would call you a liar, but yeah.
So we've known each other a while. We've been doing this for a while. And you know what? I feel like I know you to some extent, Howard. And I'd say the measure of you as a person that I know is that you are someone who loves deeply and cares broadly. The Orane Academy stuff is starting to come across to people as quite prejudiced. And it's worrying some people.
How so?
When you start going into being inside of people's beliefs and questioning them, and specifically targeting them, and especially when it comes down to not just faith, but also their very identity, it tends to start to get a little bit worrying for people. But I know that's not you, Howard.
No, that's not my... I want to know what's going on and what's at the root of all this magic stuff. But no, I want people to be uncomfortable with the truth, but I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about anything.
Exactly. And I believe you. And I think so much of the importance of what you just said was summed up in that there's an element of that magic that you don't understand. And so I think that should be what you focus on instead of the theories around not understanding is learning to understand it.
Hmm.
But if we did hire you on over at the Slate, that would come with a fairly tight stipulation, at least for the foreseeable future, that we kind of step away from the Academy a little bit, which would be difficult for you.
Hmm.
But there is something I've been working on.
You've been doing this for some time, haven't you?
Quite a while, yeah.
I know you've done some of your own reporting on this stuff, and you really don't think what's going on up there is a big threat to anybody?
Not only do I think it's not a big threat for anybody, I think that it's quite helpful for our little community to have something so prestigious surrounding us. But I understand the trepidation of something that doesn't, you know, connect in with your understanding.
You know, I don't mind rubbing people the wrong way, but not for those kind of reasons. And if me learning more about where that kind of magic happens before I start asking the other kind of questions will be helpful in me getting the truth out, then maybe that's the way that it has to be done.
I think so. And I think it can be jarring to have to shift your perspective so quickly. And I don't want that for you. So my thought and my feeling is that if we make the long-term goal your position at the company to try and not just educate yourself, but educate everyone else here that might hold similar beliefs to you or misunderstandings, we'll make that the overarching goal of your position at the Slate. But there's been something that I've been working on for a while that could keep you much more occupied until we get to a point where people feel like things have simmered down a bit.
Yeah.
I've personally been a bit concerned on my travels outside of the village. Tell me, you've been out and about?
A few times, yeah. Here and there.
How many times have you seen a horse up close?
I don't think I can remember the last time I saw a horse up close.
When's the last time you even saw someone riding a horse?
I don't know the last time I saw someone riding a horse.
But you know what we see a lot of? Milk.
But where are all the cows?
Where are all the cows?
That is a good question. Where's the milk coming from?
Where's the milk coming from, Howard?
That's a good question. That's a good question, Leaf. Where's the milk coming from?
Exactly right.
That's a...
And so I've been working on this.
You've been working on it?
I can't chip away at it. And so I'm giving that to you.
Are you sure? That's sort of a... That seems like a pretty big story to follow. I'm just a new hire, you know? I don't want to take anything anything that big away from you.
No, I want to give it to you. I want you to take your time with it. And I want you to come back to us in 3 weeks and pitch to us where you've got so far. But stay cool, stay calm, and make sure that people don't start getting worried about you, and we'll publish the piece.
Yeah, I think I could do that. I think I can find something about the lack of horses, and who knows, and cows. Or are cows and horses, have they been the same thing all along?
What is Big Milk hiding?
What is Big Milk hiding? I knew there was something in you, Leaf, that wanted to know the truth, that wanted to know what was happening outside this town, and under it. Maybe the cows are in the tunnels.
Let's leave the tunnels. Come up from the tunnels. Let's stay strictly this terranean, not sub.
I will get direct permission from you before any tunnel-related activities.
Yeah, no tunnels unless, you know...
Unless I get a lead that there is a tunnel full of cows.
Yeah, in which case then just ask. Yeah, just ask first.
Yes, I will, because it seems like you had to really twist your editor's arm with this one. And
I did.
And I appreciate you going on that out on a limb for me.
And just come back and check in 3 weeks.
And definitely tightens up his coat when he leaves. Like he looks like he's like, this meeting never happened. Kind of like just his hat. Like, see you in 3 weeks. Winks at you like you had like a clandestine meeting.
Don't come to my house again, please, Howard.
Where should this be? Office only. We don't want to have a rendezvous point away from prying eyes.
Sure. You pick the place and just leave a note.
Cool, but not your house.
Not my house, please.
Okay, I'm gonna think of a better place. It's not a tunnel, and it's not your house. Okay. Yep. I'm on it right now. Thinking about places.
Perfect.
Thinking about places it could be. Maybe it's gonna be here. Who? I don't know. I don't know yet. He's now like already scouting places that would be good for him to do his like deep throat-esque espionage and like let you know the inside workings of the world. Then you feel like this is the kind of person who is very stubborn about their stress, and their anxiety has manifested in like how the world around them is out to get them. But there is you did see like when you were talking about like people being uncomfortable about it, like there was that natural reaction of like, well, people are pushing back against the truth. But then like there was that worry about like, but I'm not trying to like, and this is the kind of person you probably wouldn't trust in a mob, but like you take some time, push him in the right direction, and he might, who knows where he's going to go with this milk thing, you know, he might yeah. crack something on it.
Yeah, I think Leaf is genuinely concerned about milk in general. So this is not a far cry from...
It's very suspicious. Yeah. There's only so many manimals.
Manimals.
There's only so many mammals in this city. Where's all the milk coming from? Mm-hmm. How early does Leaf arrive to the Rosenthal Academy?
I think he'd go back to the office. He would get everything laid out for the print of that evening. And then pop to the corner shop, get the bits and pieces that he... And then even though he had brought like his change of clothes with him, I think he'll run the stuff home and just pour a massive bowl of cat food in the bowl for Penelope, and then go back and change at the office. I think he'd probably get there 15 minutes early, not more than that, but just in time to kind of be noticeably early.
Rosenthal Academy is in Terracea. So you have to take the ferry out. It's in mid-city. It's a beautiful building that's sort of made of this black, like it looks kind of like black stone and glass. It's very modern. And you're greeted when you walk into the atrium by, there's a few well-dressed people around. They're like, oh, you must be Mr. Griffin. It's so, we're so pleased to have you tonight.
I was quite surprised that you reached out to me out of everyone that you could reach out to, but
oh, of course.
Here I am.
We were so eager to have really qualified judges for the show tonight. And, you know, you come so highly recommended. We really wanted to get, you know, getting an honest opinion is going to be really important for these kids. So we're just thrilled to have you.
Okay. Just a couple of points. Number one.
Yes.
Judging?
Yes, you'll be judging the art show tonight.
Okay, sorry. So it's just a choice of words thing. Okay. Kids is the other one that I was going to just double check on. You mean like just like, you know, young adults?
I suppose, you know, the Rosenthal Academy are middle graders, 6 to 8. You know, they've been working. This is the advanced art program that they can submit to. So it's a charter school. They've had access to some really incredible programs, and having a judge as prestigious as you is just going to really make their day.
middle schoolers.
Yes, the Rosenthal Academy for Gifted Adolescents and Teens.
Can I ask you, and be honest, when you were looking at judges, did you happen to poll the kids on people that they would like to have come in?
Well, as an administrative action, that may have been time-consuming, but, you know, we had reached out to, you know, we were looking at some of our alumni and, you know, their past colleagues. You know, you seemed, when we announced that you would be one of the judges tonight, there was some real positive response from the kids, and, you know, everyone's, we'll be thrilled to have you.
Did you tell them I was from the Slate?
Yes. Yes, the Slate, the premier newspaper of Heshiel, the whole island.
Yeah, that's fine. When do I start?
Oh, well, the kids should be setting up shortly. You can feel free to look around. You know, we'll have about probably an hour where people can just look and enjoy. There'll be plenty of parents here. You know, don't worry about them. I'm sure there'll be some people who try and, you know, like, they'll try and bribe you, but it's all, you know, it's all in good fun, you know, like, it's just, you know, have a good time, get yourself a refreshment, and then, you know, at the end of the hour, the judges will convene, and you guys can pass out the awards, best composition, you know, best use of colors. Your face?
He's like, he's visibly, like, his eyes are welling up, and he's doing a very bad job of hiding it.
Are you okay? Are you alright?
Oh yeah, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm gonna take a walk around then, I suppose.
Yes, feel free to ask the students about their inspirations, and I'm sure they'd be eager to tell you about what they're... You go ahead, I'm sorry, don't wanna keep you. Feel welcome in. Thank you, we're very glad to have you here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gonna just go in. Head down and stand in front of the first painting that he comes to. Is this yours?
Yeah, that's my painting.
Is your dad here now?
Yeah, my mom says that he's gonna be late because he's busy tonight, but he's gonna be here soon.
I'm gonna kneel down. You know what, mate? My dad was late for everything too. Don't take that shit. When he gets here, you tell him you should have been on fucking time. Okay. You can. I'm a judge. I'm telling you.
Okay.
You tell him. You should. How is he always late?
He's late a lot of the time, yeah.
Yeah. My dad, too. You tell him.
His, like, eyes are welling up a little bit. He's like, do you like my picture of my dad?
No. Do you like your picture of your dad?
I think it captured something about him.
Yeah. Doesn't look like your dad. Do you know how I know that? Because he isn't here. Looks almost exactly like your dad in the fact that doesn't look anything like him. I wouldn't know anyway, because he didn't turn up, did he?
It's not even, you don't even know what my dad looks like, though.
Yeah, and it feels like neither do you, by the looks of things.
Mom, the judge is talking to me about, do we have a picture of dad? I can show it.
I've already gone to the next painting. Just like tears streaming down my face.
You get to the next painting and it's someone, and it's a kid who's done like a basic art class still life. It's like a bowl of fruit. There's like a banana. There's a pear. There's grapes. Too many grapes. The grapes are too small. The grapes are not cascading the way that grapes should.
This one yours?
Yeah, it's my bowl of fruit.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, you know what? No, I can see that now. I didn't see that before.
But see, there's the banana and the apple are right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. What did you use? Paint?
Yes.
What kind of paint?
The kind that is colors, that's like the primary colors that I then mixed into secondary colors.
Are you proud of your fruit bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's your favorite fruits?
Kiwi.
Don't see a kiwi on here.
Well, that's because they're really hard to get, because I only had one once on my birthday, and my mama had to get it flown in from someplace else because it's hard to grow fruit.
And you forgot what they look like, I suppose, did you?
Yeah, I think they're brown on the outside, but I don't know what they look like on the inside.
You forgot what you didn't bother using your imagination?
It was a still life, so I didn't think I was supposed to use my imagination.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. Art is all about constraining yourself within the boundaries of the things that you see only. That makes sense. In which case, brilliant. Good job. Fucking great.
And then he's going to storm over to the next painting.
It's just a kid, and it's like blobs. Just blobs. Just really big blobs.
He's going to like be taken aback by it for a second.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This one is, this one's great.
Yeah, thanks. That's mine.
I almost don't want to ruin it by asking you this, but what was going through your mind when you were painting it?
So when I was painting this, I hadn't slept for 48 hours, and I decided to do painting of what it's like when I'm laying awake at night and I'm just like staring at the ceiling. I'm thinking like, what is this? What am I gonna like do with my life, you know? And it just feels like it's like everything's happening all at once. And then I wanted the use of color. I wanted to put all of the color, like all of that in that one space at the same time. Cause it's just like too much. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like so many things are happening at the same time. And then this one here, this is the rage. Do you see what I mean? That's why it's red.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
You get it? Cause like, my mom doesn't get it. My mom doesn't get me, man.
Your mom's a bitch.
She is a bitch.
This is fucking fantastic.
Oh man, that's really cool to hear, cause I worked on this for a long time.
This is so far beyond everything, every other mediocre piece of shit in this room.
I know.
Listen, he's gonna kneel down and hold him by the shoulders. Don't ever let go of this passion.
I'm not, man.
Don't settle for some shitty little job that just about meets your standards. You keep making this.
This seems really personal. Are you okay?
He's gripping slightly too tight.
No, and neither will you if you don't get out of this pattern of creating exquisite pieces of work just for fucking idiots like me to come and look at.
He grabs you by the shoulders. Listen to me, man. What the fuck are you doing here, man?
Don't know.
I'm in 8th grade and I have to be here. You know what?
I didn't know it was a school. I thought it was real.
What do you mean? It is real. It's right here, man. That's the fucking art.
Yeah, yours is, but look at...
They're kids, man. They're fucking kids, man. What did you expect?
I didn't know. I didn't know that there was going to be kids.
Fucking look at Johnny. Man, he's crying. Did you make him cry over that painting of his dad?
Yeah, I said that his dad was a piece of shit.
His dad is a piece of shit. You think he has to hear that from you? You think he doesn't know that? Why else do you think his painting of his dad is so bad?
Yeah.
How often does he see that guy?
Oh, probably never, because his painting was shit.
Doesn't even look like him. Look at his dad just showed up now. You can see from the other side of the room. He's like, you fuck off, dad! Oh, man, he wasn't ready for that.
No, I did that.
He wasn't ready for that. You did that.
Yeah, I did that, yeah. But it doesn't look like his dad. It's such a shit painting.
It doesn't look like his dad. It doesn't look like his dad at all, dude.
Yeah.
Why? You don't... Listen, man. Where's your passion for this? What are you doing?
I don't even think I like art very much.
What? But you're here to what? Like, be a judge of art and you don't even like art very much? But you think my painting? What does your opinion mean anything, dude?
I just think that I've always wanted to do it and I never really thought about why. But I think the thing that I like doing, I've not really been focused.
What's the thing that you like doing?
I love my shitty little paper, mate. I love it.
Well, then you gotta do what you do best. You gotta... See, this is art. This is shitty art. Do you know where this belongs? In a shitty little paper, man.
Can I buy your piece?
You want to buy my art?
Yeah.
I don't really think we're supposed to sell them, but like, yeah, how much you offer?
And he'll just take out like a little purse of gold. This?
Yeah. I mean, 100%. I don't need this.
And he's going to plonk it down. Like, sorry, I called your mom a bitch. She probably isn't.
She's kind of a bitch, but like, listen, she's going to be psyched about this. And he like takes his canvas off the wall and he just hands it to you. And he's like, I got a bunch of walls like this too. My mom would be thrilled if you bought them.
Yeah. Only if you love doing it, keep doing it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I didn't know if I liked doing it, but then you just bought it for a lot of money. So
okay, now I
like feel... I like it a lot more now.
Shit, now I feel like I've given the wrong message.
No, man. No, man. Like, I'm staying away with anxiety what I'm supposed to do with my life, making blobs. Maybe, look it, if you feel something in my blobs, maybe I'm doing something right. You know what I mean? Like, maybe this is the thing. Maybe this is the path that I'm supposed to be taking. Instead of like, I was gonna ask Christina to dance, see if she wanted to like hit a vape pen, and then we were gonna go like make out in the janitor's closet. But like, is that gonna make her happy, man? It's not really what's gonna make me happy.
No, and you know what? You should, like, if next time you feel like there's something weighing on you that you need advice on, you could always write to the Slate's Agony Aunt. She might be able to help out.
Holy shit! You know Agony Aunt?
That's my paper.
Oh my god! Guys! This guy is he knows the Agony Aunt lady! And like, there's literally people like, oh my god! That's a grandma who writes the crazy shit! Yeah, dude. Listen, man. I want her autograph, man. Like, I don't know if her name's not probably really Agony Aunt or whatever, but like, she ever wants to come talk here, tell her like she could fill up the goddamn auditorium. But like, hey, like, you could probably too, because you just made that kid tell his dad to fuck off. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna apologize about. I'm gonna go and sort that out.
Yeah, probably.
What was your name?
Max.
Max. Yeah, thank you.
What's your name?
Leaf.
Leaf.
Leaf Griffin.
Leaf Griffin. That's a cool name.
Yeah.
It's better than Maxwell Sykes. It was like, oh, look, it's like a rich old man. Joke's on you, Sykes.
Yeah, it's a pretty shit name.
Yeah, it is.
You're probably right about your mum. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to hang around too much longer. I'm going to go fix those last couple of interactions.
No, yeah. I mean, you're like an adult man. So, like, yeah. That's kind of that's on you.
Yeah, that was a, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be consequences.
I mean, you're right, but, like, they're just, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm an eighth grader, man. Like, I can handle the truth. Like, these are, like, they're, like 11, dude. Like, they can't do that.
Oh, fuck, I don't want to. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. And he's, like, counting out his gold. He's, like.
I'm carrying this canvas, and I'm going to go back to the fruit basket kid first.
Go back to the fruit basket, and she's just like, so I've been looking up what a kiwi is like, and it is green on the inside. So I apologize for not having a kiwi in, but I didn't understand that I should be using more imagination in this assignment.
I mean...
But I will in the future.
Whatever you... Look, I shouldn't have... been an asshole about kiwis.
I mean, I like kiwis a lot, and I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you don't need to say. I just need to say sorry for being a prick, which I was, admittedly. And so, keep up your still paintings of art of fruit bowls.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. I have to go and deal with these parents.
He's yelling.
Okay. Do you want to talk to them for me?
You're not really equipped for that.
Okay.
Sorry.
And I'm going to reach into my pocket and I'm going to take out another little sack of gold and like, here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
He's just sort of like standing there, like, I don't think grown-ups should be giving me money, but like, sure, thank you.
And I'm going to head over to... to the parents.
There is like a full-on like, Johnny, what's gotten into you? I don't like it when you're always late for my stuff. I'm late because I'm trying to do what's best for this family. Oh, okay, you're trying to do what's best for this family. That's what I tell him all the time, but, you know, maybe doing what's best for this family means showing up on time. Why is everyone yelling at me at this time? What?
Hi.
What? I did it. I did it, Mr. Leaf.
Yeah.
I told him to fuck off.
You sure did.
Yep. You told my son to tell me to fuck off?
Yeah, how about we bring it down like a couple of notches? There are kids around.
Who the heck are you? Who the heck do you think you are, sir? Telling my kid to tell me to fudge off.
And I'm gonna take him and turn him towards the painting of him on the wall. Does that look like you, mate?
Not particularly, but I.
It's me. It's meant to be.
That's me. Yep, that's me.
Do you know what your son had to do to make that painting happen? He had to draw you from memory.
This is
kind of fucked up.
It's not a conversation I want to have with some fucking asshole at the art fair.
Yeah, well, this fucking asshole at the art fair also had a dad that wasn't really around very much.
And his wife's kind of like, okay, he's got a little bit of a point, Dave. It's like, Susan.
Look,
Jesus Christ doesn't exist here. Susan, gods, I don't know what is happening.
Look, you didn't expect to have this conversation. No. You also didn't expect to have your son to tell you to fuck off.
No, I didn't. I just got off work.
That was mildly wrong of me.
Mildly?
Does that not affect you in some way, that your own child had to draw you from memory?
I don't like that you're turning this back on me, but yeah, I don't like it. It's not great.
But I'm not telling you anything, but I fully admitted the fault of telling your child to tell you to fuck off.
I'm gonna say two things.
Okay.
And then I need you to walk away.
I'm probably not going to.
But I need you to, okay? Here's the first thing. The first thing is, you're probably right and I should be doing better by myself. The second thing is, you fuck off.
You fuck off. Don't talk to me like that.
You told my fucking 10-year-old fucking kid. He's 11. You told...
That's gotta hurt. That's gotta be some kind of warning sign.
Go the fuck away! No way!
I will. I'm spiraling right now. What's your excuse?
Fuck off! Stop saying fuck! Sir.
You also said fuck too.
Sir.
Me, sir, him, sir.
Both sirs, this is a children's art fair, and we really
got a bone to pick with you.
What, me?
Maybe clearly telegraph next time if something is a children's art show.
The Rosenthal Academy is a very prestigious magnet school for children in the city.
Not everyone knows that.
If you had done the barest, your work for a newspaper, if you had done the barest modicum of research, you would have seen that we are a school for children.
I work for a shitty little newspaper that is very good, and we don't do nearly enough research. In fact, I just sent one of my staff writers to go out and find out what is happening with Big Milk. So I don't expect everyone to have a reading comprehension level.
Big Milk? I think we're supposed to ask you to leave is probably what we should be doing.
I will.
Look, Johnny's like, you fuck off. This is what I'm talking about. This is not, we did not have a auditorium full of, and then the other kid at the other end, Max, is like, hey, lady, why don't you fuck off? It's like, no, this is not what we wanted to. And the Fruit Basket girl's like, fuck off. And her mom's like, Lisa, no. She's like, yeah, but like everybody else is saying it. You're just kind of like, fuck off. Yeah, fuck off. This is not what we wanted tonight to look like. This was supposed to be a nice event for the kids. This was supposed to be a celebration of their artistic achievements over the course of the past year. This is not what we had you out here for. Sir, please leave.
No, that's fair enough. I'm taking this. I'm keeping the canvas. He's good.
No, this one of the students. Johnny's like, nah, I sold it to him. Nope, Johnny. No, that's not the... No, it's cool.
I did buy it.
Just go. And Johnny's like, do you want my drawing of my dad? Do you want my painting of my dad? And his dad's like, no, I'm gonna... This is nice. You made this painting of me that doesn't look like me.
Painting of a random
man.
I'm not. He's never met. Yeah.
I'm not at home enough, probably. This doesn't look like me. And he's like, I don't know. I tried my best. I think it's a kind of a good drawing of like a person, though, even if it doesn't look like my dad.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, arms and legs and a head. Yeah. She's discernible as a person.
Yeah.
And look, and I'm going to direct myself to the teacher. And like, I've clearly done something here if it's not...
This is not... Yeah, I don't really think this is what we were planning on. No, I think maybe this is probably... I don't really want to have to, like, ask to scorch you out because you're a grown man, and I feel like that's been established.
Yeah, no, I have fully mentally spiraled this evening and made it everyone else's problem.
Yeah.
But some of that is on you, so...
I don't know if that's true. I'm not sure about that.
I didn't mean it. I'm not feeling very well. Okay, see ya.
No, that was for her because she was being...
Oh, but I should fuck off.
Hey, man, listen. As the best 25 gold I ever made in my life. Just hang it somewhere nice, man, if you want any more. I'm on fantasy Instagram.
And he's just gonna see himself out.
And there's definitely, like, palpable, like, noise rising in the auditorium as children are like, Mom, what does fuck mean? I don't, what are we talking about fucking up? Who needs to fuck up? It's kind of rising cacophony as, like, the door slowly, like, click. The silence of the atrium.
And he's just gonna head home.
Got his painting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He takes the ferry back home, gets back to his little cottage. There's already a little note from Howard taped to the window. He thinks that there's gonna be a spot behind where like the like town square is, like a little like next to like the second rose bush, where like, you know, like fabricated rose bush because like there's no real plants, but like he thinks you'll understand if. This is all, like, written in the letter. Like,
yeah.
I know there's no real rose bushes, but I think you will understand when I say the second rose bush by the fountain.
Mm-hmm. And I'll take it, I'll walk in, and I'm going to just crumple it up slightly and just throw it on the floor with the rest of the paper.
A slightly crumpled paper.
And close the door behind, yeah. And then I'm going to take the canvas and just prop it up next to Penelope's little corner.
Penelope kind of goes over to it and, like, sits down and, like... Do you know the way that, like, cats do when you think maybe there's a ghost? Like, she's just staring at these blobs.
Yeah. Pretty good, hey? Yeah, that's what I thought, too. You said it much more eloquently than I ever could.
She's gone back to her mound of food.
And without taking off the suit, he's just going to go to bed and probably sleep quite well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of What Happened in the Malachite Wastes. Each of our little adventures are spontaneous tales from our guide, Isabella Z. Vergun, and our marvelous guest. This episode followed a day in the life of Leif Griffin, played by James Xavier Lamb. James is an immensely talented actor with a background in film and voice acting. You can soon hear more of James's incredible voice on The Long Rest, an upcoming grim dark audio drama by Atlas Productions, and by checking out his various productions on his Linktree and social media at It's Probably James Lamb. Leif's official character art was created by Caroline Gendron. This show is produced by Annalise Fisher. Our music was created and produced by our audio director, Ryan Tucker. Our sound team is Nate Kleeman as our dialogue lead, Jonathan Junkle Rodriguez as dialogue editor, and Alex Torrigan as SFX and Foley. Our incredible art team is led by our art director, Chris Gargoyle Pastures, and featuring our incredible artists, Caroline Gendron and Anna Renee Chavez. Our team would not be complete without the hard work of our lore keeper, Kyler Carter, and our server warlock, Alex Glika. Find us on Instagram and TikTok at The Malachite Wastes, or join us on the official Malachite Wastes Discord server to see more of their amazing contributions. If you'd like to support our team and the work they do, please consider subscribing to our Patreon, where you can find all kinds of cool bonus content like Session Zeroes, Patreon-exclusive interviews and sketches, sneak peeks at upcoming art, and much, much more. You can find all of our team's incredible individual work linked in the episode description below. Thank you for listening, and remember to keep checking back with us so that you can find out what happened in the Malachite Wastes.